Do you want to send them off your website to go land on Facebook and then get distracted and start getting on their wall and look at their friends' stuff? No.
Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Dr. Jesse Green here, your host, and today I'm having a conversation with Mike Pedersen from thedentalboost.com. In our conversation, we're having a chat about all things digital, specifically about how to attract far more patients using digital marketing. We talk a lot about, you know, the anatomy of a website that converts. We go through the latest in SEO, what's working, what's not, how to avoid being slapped by Google, what happens when you get it wrong. But what Mike really does in this conversation is he goes into some really good detail. So he gives a great explanation, taking something complicated and making it easy and understandable so that dentists have a really good understanding what's going on with their digital marketing. But most importantly, it then gives dentists the ability to ask intelligent questions of their SEO provider or their website developer or whomever it is that they're working with so that they're getting the best possible outcomes and the best possible return on their investment. So it's a great interview with Mike. He's so knowledgeable, such a lovely guy, fun guy, energetic guy, and I know that there's just so much really good information, lots of nuggets of gold that he shares in this particular interview. So as always, have a pen and paper handy. Mike's very generous in his knowledge, and I'm sure you'll want to take notes on all the things that he says. And importantly, you'll want to take action on it as well. So without any further ado, here's Mike Pedersen from thedentalboost.com. Mike Pedersen, all the way from America, from thedentalboost.com. Thank you so much for coming on to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. I'm really excited to be having a chat with you today about all things online marketing and particularly converting websites and SEO, all that sort of stuff. Welcome. How are you?
Jesse, it's an honor. I've listened to many of your podcasts. You are a very impressive dude over there in Australia, and so I thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thank you. The feeling's mutual because I feel a little bit like I've been cyberstalking you now for a while, and I'm conscious just how wrong that sounds. But anyway, I mean that in a good thing. I've been across your stuff for a while, and what I've been really impressed about is you take a really common sense approach to online marketing, and that's what I love. There seems to be so much fluff, so much, well, frankly, so much, you know, over-promising and under-delivering that goes on. And what I love that you talk about is this really good, solid marketing, and I love that. So welcome. It's going to be great.
I appreciate it.
Cool. So, Mike, what I wanted to start with for a little bit, and one of the things I'm always curious to ask is, you know, most people are never born as a dental website developer or an SEO kind of expert. How did you find your way to this, you know, particular career?
Oh, it's funny. Fitness has been my life and sports has been my life. I almost made the Olympic Games in the decathlon back in 88.
Wow.
So I'm aging myself, but for Canada. So I took sports to, I'm a very type A alpha male competitive guy, always have been. And when I retired from track after 88, I fell right into fitness. That was kind of, you know, it's been my life. So I became one of the top trainers in Portland, Oregon at the time. And I trained CEOs in their homes, basically. So I was a private trainer that would drive around and train these very successful, affluent men, typically in their homes. And then I picked up this crazy game of golf. And gosh, dang it. My OCD kicked in full bore and studied it upside down, bought every book imaginable. And I launched the world's first golf fitness membership website back in 2000.
Wow.
And I built up to a very successful business all by myself. So that's kind of how I learned my chops. I had a subscriber list of 82,000 golfers. And the remnants of that business is still found, which is if you go to YouTube, to this day, I still think I have one of the biggest golf channels on YouTube today. I haven't touched it in 5 years, but it's got like 4 million views, combined views, 14,000 subscribers. And kind of funny, the other day, Jesse, I checked my analytics just for giggles, and that channel gets 50,000 new organic views a month. And I haven't touched it in 5 years.
That is phenomenal. That is phenomenal. What a niche. What a, and good job to you. That's cool.
Well, and that's how I kind of learned my chops. And then in 08, something bad happened that I think we all know about. And I think probably even in Australia, something it happened over there. It was global. And I watched that business basically crumble. My demographic was the retired or semi-retired to retired golfer. And in our country, they watched it their retirements basically go away. And any discretionary income they had, they were tightening up the wallets. And I wrote, as a typical entrepreneur, I wrote it out, the business out in denial until 2010. And then I turned to the wife and said, here we go again as an entrepreneur. And I said, what am I going to do now? And I thought, God, I know a lot about the internet. Boy, I've single-handedly built big YouTube channels and subscriber lists and all these different things. And I met a couple of people by happen chance here in Scottsdale, Arizona, that were in dental. No particular reason, no kind of going after it. And one of the coaches single-handedly referred, I think, 13 of his clients to me all in within about a two-week period. And all of a sudden, I was in dental marketing. And that was about almost 6 years ago now. So I've been working with dentists for 6 years. And cliche as it sounds, I love doing what I do. And I'm really here to try to kind of reassure dentists that, you know, there's some of us out there that really have their best interests at heart. And I kind of wear everything on my sleeve. So I really do take a personal interest in all the clients I work with. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, look, that's an amazing journey. Obviously, going right back to your decathlon days, you know, through the golfing membership site you had, and obviously into your current business now that you're running, you know, the Dental Boost. What's really interesting, because I think I mentioned to you off air that, you know, back in, you know, late 2009 or 2008, I was running, you know, similar style of business, you know, building websites and getting traffic to them. And things have changed a lot, obviously, in that period of time. I cut my chops on affiliate marketing, actually, selling all sorts of ClickBank products, which...
Been there and done that.
Yeah. But it's what I've found really interesting is, even though I don't run that business anymore, I'm always curious to understand what's happening in the world of internet marketing, because it's constantly changing. I know the principles stay the same, but, you know, the methodology changes. So what over the last few years do you think have been the big trends, the big shifts that have kind of meant that we need to just, you know, really focus a bit more on our digital marketing?
Well, I think when it comes to dentistry, you know, like any business, offline business, when it comes to digital marketing, it starts with the website, and you've got to have a website that's built for your visitor, for the customer. And that's everything from the usability of the website to the content of the website. Everything about that website should be built for conversions. And Jesse, I see this all the time out there in dentistry, and some of these companies are the big companies in the industry, no names mentioned, that just build, you know, really stock cookie cutter websites, you know, change the color, add your logo. We've got the content, don't worry about it. And it's all duplicate content all across the internet. Google hates duplicate content. And it's not written for the visitor. It's, you know, the visitor, Jesse, here's the thing that dentists need to understand. So people use Google because they have a problem and they're searching for a solution. That is it. If you want to simplify it, there it is in a nutshell right there. And throughout the years, the big change that I've seen is that people are more intuitive when they use Google. They know that if they type general terms or general phrases in there, they may not get the result they're really looking for. So people are now taking more time to add more words to the search term. And a lot of people that hear this podcast and SEO guys will say, oh, he's just talking about long tail. Well, not necessarily. Long tail is, you know, 5 words, 6 words long, and it really gets into specific stuff that there may be one or two searches in a year on something long tail. I'm talking about searches like cost of Invisalign Portland. That would be somebody that's very serious about Invisalign, and they want to find out, hey, how much does this cost?
That's a buying signal, if ever there was one, wasn't there?
Jesse, there you go. And what we do over here, we call it buyer intent dental keyword phrases. And so we've researched the marketplace, and we've come up with thousands of them. Thousands and thousands. And that's how we kind of run our SEO over here now, is we just go after all the buyer intent, because we feel like when somebody searches with those types of phrases, they're way down the buyer path. So if they land on one of our clients' websites, they're almost ready to pick up that phone and go, as opposed to if somebody types in, you know, dentist Portland, they're not quite there yet. They're sniffing around. They're not sure if they're going to switch dentists. They're just not there yet. And we've just found out that, sure, there's more search volume for that, but it's just not a qualified searcher.
That's the key, isn't it? The qualification process is absolutely critical.
Oh, huge. Huge. Yeah, you want to catch them at their need. You want to catch them when they're really at that emotional point of really looking for a solution for their problem. And dentistry, you know, toothaches and smile makeovers, and, you know, they've got a reunion they're going to, and they want to fix their smile. All these emotional things are going on in the person's head. They're going to type those things into Google. And if you're not optimized, you know, whether you've got an SEO company or not, if you're not optimized to try to gather all those search phrases, which takes a lot of resources to do that, then you're missing a huge percent of the marketplace that's really ready to hire a dentist.
Yeah, I think that's really critical and wonderful. Just again, what I love that you've done so well there, Mike, is you've taken something that most people find a bit overwhelming and complicated, and you've distilled it down to the absolute, you know, kernels of truth, which is great. What I'm just curious to explore with you at the moment is, you know, we understand that you've got to have a high converting website, and we know there's got to be traffic that comes to the website, and, you know, preferably qualified traffic with buyer intent. Now, what I just want to understand is, if we were to talk about the anatomy of a high converting website, I'm sure there's some features that, you know, go into a high converting website. What are the things that you think a good high converting website should have? And equally, just to extend on that, where do you see the mistakes that most dental practices make?
Jesse, awesome question. And it's a great question. It's one that I hope all the listeners really pay attention to here.
Take notes, peeps.
Exactly. Here we go. So the number one goal of any business website, let alone dentistry, is to get the person to take an action. And for dentistry, it typically, the number one goal would be to make a phone call. So please, big phone number on your website. Don't make the visitor look for your phone number. Get it very visible and have it in a consistent place on every page of the website. When we build a custom website, we always put them, and it just, the eye gravitates to it anyways, is the upper right-hand corner. And you want it big. And not only that, people, it's amazing from a marketing standpoint, people want to be led by the hand. And what I mean by that, Jesse, is that put a couple of calls to actions or action words to the left of the phone number. Call us today at 480-555-5555. Call now. Call to, you know, these different action words. When people see those words, that starts getting them thinking, okay, you know, I better call this dentist. I better, because you've literally put the words on your website. So that would be number one. Number two, video is exploding on the internet. Over 65% of internet traffic is video. 65%. Now, does Netflix and Amazon probably skew those numbers? Sure. But the point is, and what's the second biggest search engine in the world? YouTube. So video, people are more willing to consume a 60 to 90 second video than read an 800 word content page. But there's a little bit of give and take, Jesse. Google wants content, and they want original content, and they want between 600 to 800 words on a web page. So any of your websites out there, dentists listening to this, go back to your website. You can even copy and paste the content, just that the words, the main words on like your veneer page, and go type it in a Word document and use the Word tool and see how many words are on that page. That's a quick way to see that. And the average dental website that we've looked at, and we've looked at over 5,000 of them. We've analyzed over 5,000 dental websites. The average website, dental website, has 300 words on a page.
You're kidding. 300.
300. Google wants double that. Double that. But that's for Google. What's for the user and what we push with all of our clients? Video. And 98%, 99% of dentists will not do it. They don't understand how easy it is to take a smartphone, get one of your assistants, when the practice is closed at 5 o'clock, have the assistant stay over, you know, take them out for a beer afterwards, whatever you want to do, and take that smartphone horizontal so that it looks nice on a, like a video player like YouTube, and just shoot the video. You talk to patients all day long when you give a consult. That's all you're doing, and the camera is talking like you get to a patient across the table, and we found out video converts 10 to 1, Jesse, 10 to 1.
That's phenomenal. So just because I know the question is going to come up, Mike, people are going to say, yep, video, love it, I'm on board with that. And then, of course, you know, dentists are pretty practical kind of people, and they want to go, well, now how do I, you know, do it? How do I utilize that video? So just so, you know, to spell that out, that would be, you know, part of a YouTube channel. And then would that then be embedded as part of a video blog, or would you leave it as the YouTube channel and get traffic that way? What sort of suggestions do you have around that?
Great question. You know, well, Google, when they crawl a web page and they see their code, their YouTube code, there's no proof of this. But all of us in SEO, we know that there's a little green check mark Google gives you. They say, thank you very much. Thank you very much. So is that a ranking signal? You can flip a coin on that one. But it's not bad to have an embedded YouTube video since Google owns YouTube on your webpage. But I want to tell you something, and you can Google this, pardon the pun, Jesse. But here's one thing that a lot of people don't understand. When you embed a YouTube video, if you don't have the correct settings on that video, good old YouTube at the end of your dental video is going to show all your competitors.
Yes, indeed.
And holy smokes, I don't think any dentist on the planet wants to have their biggest competitor right next to them, their video showing up right after theirs is played on their own website. And so there is code, and you can just Google it. No playlist videos, no videos at the end of YouTube, and then put the word code in there. And that you search that in Google, and you'll come up with a code, and we just cut and paste it in all of our players now. And it keeps it really clean. No other videos play. Your single video, dental video, plays to the end, and it's done right there. So you got to make sure that it doesn't play any competitor videos at the end of it.
That is so funny that you bring that up, because I've seen that on a few dental websites as well. You go, oh my God, the owners haven't quite ticked that checkbox. And all of a sudden it defeats the whole purpose. But I love the fact you brought that up. So just coming back to the essentials of a really good website, we've spoken about having call to action and the telephone number prominently displayed. We've spoken about having video content. We've spoken about having, the right number of words on a page, 600 to 800 words. What else do you think are the essential ingredients of a great dental website?
Well, it obviously comes down to, you want to resonate with your ideal demographic. And sometimes we have this, on all our phone calls, we ask the dentist, hey, who's your ideal patient? And sometimes, unfortunately, the dentist says everybody.
They fog a mirror, they qualify.
Yeah, I mean, no. What's your demographic in your area? Is it affluent? Is it young families? Is it semi-retired? Is it retired? What is it? So you dig a little deeper and get it. That's the kind of images that should be on your website, right? So, and typically, if you can, you want to avoid all the same stock images that all the companies produce out there. And all the big companies have the same guys, the same women, the same men, the same family pictures on all their websites. So there's no branding for that practice at all. So what we try to urge our dental clients is to go out and you get a little release waiver, 1 or 2 cents release waiver, and get some of your real loyal patients to come in on a Saturday and offer pizza and beer or whatever you want to do, or give them Starbucks cards, if they do it, and get some actual patient photos that you can put on your website. Because then when you do that, especially if you get some good ones, you get some beautiful patients of yours, you can put that phrase actual patient on the image on your website. And then what happens is you got some what we call subliminal marketing. So if your ideal demographic is the 50-year-old female, and you don't want to get like a drop-dead gorgeous 50-year-old on your website, that might be a little bit intimidating. But if you can get some 50-year-old women with some beautiful smiles, they are going to land on your website and resonate with it immediately. And when they see actual patient, they're going to link that picture to the work you do, and they're going to say, I want to get a smile like that.
I love that. That is actually really good advice. And for someone who's hung around internet marketing for a little while, I haven't actually come across that particular strategy. And I love the words actual patient, because you're right. It's authentic. It's truthful. And you're right. The subliminal message that comes through there is wonderful. So that's a fantastic hint there, Mike. I love it. That's cool. I'm going to be doing that myself.
Well, they want to see your work, right? They want to see your work. And that's, a lot of the websites have before and after. That's great. But let me give you another hint. Don't bury the before and after pictures. Have a couple right on your homepage with a link below it saying, click here to see more. Have a couple of before and afters on your homepage. Don't make them search for your beautiful work that you do. Have it, front and center right on the homepage. Another thing, Jesse, on the homepage, there's got to be either, whether it's a video we talked about earlier or an image, don't hide behind your website, dentist. Get on that homepage. Show people who's going to be inside their mouths. And I would say, Jesse, 85% maybe of the websites that we analyze, the dentist is hidden behind the website. They're nowhere to be found. And do not do that. You've got to have a beautiful team picture on the homepage. You've got to have a picture of yourself on the homepage. And, you might think, well, then Mike, it's not about me. Well, you are the one that's going to be inside their mouth along with the hygienists and assistants. But people want to see who the dentist is behind the business.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I also just wanted to ask you as well, Mike, about, you know, mobile, because, you know, there's so much searching done on, you know, handheld devices these days.
Over 60% and growing.
Yeah, it's huge, isn't it? So it's, I wasn't aware of the percentage or the latest percentage, but what I'm wanting to check in about, because, you know, back in the day, we used to have mobile versions of websites. Remember the old MDOTs or .mobis and all that sort of stuff?
Yep, MDOT, yep.
Yep. So what's your thoughts these days? Are you a fan of like a responsive website, a responsive theme, or are you kind of still thinking about a specialist mobile version of the site? What's your thinking around that these days?
Responsive. And you know, Google's got its own tool, by the way, and you can Google this for to get the Google tool, if that doesn't make sense. But, you know, mobile responsive, Google test, whatever you want to put in the search bar, and you'll get that. And then dentists can cut and paste your URL, and to their dismay, probably over 50% or more are not mobile friendly or mobile optimized. And you put that in there and test it, and you realize it's not mobile optimized. That is a ranking factor now, that for sure, without a doubt. Google is, that's one of the bigger ranking factors if you've got a mobile optimized website, because Google knows over 60% of people are searching mobile. But Jesse, let me give you a couple of hints on what the mobile page should look like when somebody lands on it. And you can do this through the code, by the way, if you've got a good developer. All of our custom websites do this, but when somebody is searching on the mobile device, they found out that the searcher intent on mobile devices is extremely high, meaning they're probably going to pick up the phone and call. So with that being said, you want a clickable number at the very top of that mobile homepage. You want a clickable map at the very top of the homepage. You want the office hours near the top of the homepage. Those are all the elements that need to be front and center, because those are the questions in people's mind is, you know, can I call you quickly? Where are you located? Which is a map. And what are your office hours? Those are the immediate things a mobile searcher wants to know in their mind right away. So don't put that at the bottom of your mobile homepage. Don't make that person scroll way down. And also, you can cut out a lot of the content, you know, via coding. You know, let's say on your desktop homepage, you've got 1,000 words of content, and that could be all combined, right? You've got different paragraphs and sections of the homepage. You've got 1,000 words. Well, do you think anybody is going to read 1,000 words on a mobile website?
Absolutely not.
So why even have it on there? Now, what you could have, definitely have your video front and center, but from top to bottom, I would go clickable phone number, map, office hours, video. That would be the order I'd have it in. And then if you want some social proof below that, like before and after, maybe a little bit about the practice, you know, in text format, then social media, by the way, social media, please, social media, you got to understand this, that when you have social media icons prominent on your website, and let's say it's near the top and they're big icons, do you want to send them off your website to go land on Facebook and then get distracted and start getting on their wall and look at their friends' stuff? No. Keep them on your website. Put the social media icons at the very bottom.
Hallelujah, brother. Thank you for saying that. I've always felt like the lone voice saying that. But get those social media icons in miniaturized format. Stick them down
as
the bottom.
As small as you can get them.
Yeah, or have them not there at all. Because, yeah, my view on this, and I think we're seeing from the same hymn sheet, is that if you were to look at your digital marketing ecosystem as a solar system, you know, the website is the sun. Everything has to revolve around it. Whereas I see a lot of people are kind of getting really obsessed with Facebook or Instagram or whatever it happens to be. But the whole purpose is to take them back to the website, not the other way around. And so I really, really appreciate you saying that, because it's great to have someone else say that as well.
Okay, third-party softwares. Okay, so you've got lots of great companies out there, you know, and I'm not going to mention them, but that have all these great features and online scheduling and online paying and all these different things. And, you know, here's our video vault, all these different things that companies offer, and those are all great, but don't have a button that, again, like the social media, that when you click it, it takes them off the website on some kind of templated looking thing that might have your logo in the upper left hand side, but they clearly are now not on your website and they know it. And from a usability standpoint, when somebody feels like they've been forced off your website, they get very nervous, they get very agitated, they're going to click that back button maybe once or twice to clear all that out of the way, and they're going to go to your competitor competitor's website. So third-party software is if you can get the company to give you embed codes, just like with YouTube videos, and embed it straight on your dental website. Do not ever allow a third-party software to shoot that visitor off on some other templated website.
And just while we're on that as well, in terms of trends and online booking and all the rest of it, because, if the big call to action, at the top right-hand side of the website is, call now and then the phone number, where do you see online booking and the call now function coming together? Because in my practice, I'm very keen for people to actually experience the friendly receptionist voice rather than booking online. But I also know that it's got to be optimized for the user and the ideal patient avatar and all that sort of stuff. But where do you see the trend happening with online booking versus telephone booking?
Well, it's such a personal service, dentistry, right? It's very personal. It's very humanistic. I'm not a guru. I don't have a crystal ball. But, I think as time goes on, people might be more and more comfortable to book online. I don't know what the statistics are, but you can use contact forms on your website without having fancy software, and you can put the fields right in there if you want. It can say day of your choice, preferred time, those kinds of things, and then that would be that costs you nothing. That's just like for WordPress, that would be like a plugin, or we call it Contact Form 7, and you can build out the fields and see how many people fill it out. There's your user test right there. And go for like a month or two and then see how many people have actually used that form before you go out. And it's so funny, Jesse. I get calls from all of our clients because I like to position myself as their advisor. And so I always tell them, don't make a purchase without talking to me ever again, ever again. And they go to conferences and then they go to the expos. And unfortunately, there's lots of good salespeople in all those booths in the expos. They're very good at sales. And these dentists whip out the credit cards and start going at it. Then they go home and start, getting all the emails from all the things they've signed up for and paid for at the conference, at the expo. You've got to be careful with that because, it can get to where you've got all these bright, shiny objects. You spent, $2,000 at this conference, all excited. You get home and don't implement any of them. You've just got to be really careful with that. You've got to not look at the bright, shiny objects. And with these online forums, same thing. There's probably some good companies out there, but is it really needed? Test it on your own before you make the investment.
Yeah, I love that whole test and measure mentality, which in online marketing is much easier to do than offline in many respects because you've got metrics.
Way
easier. Yeah, you've got your Google Analytics, you've got all this sort of goals you can set up in any variety of
call tracking.
Ways. Yeah, everything. Yep. I wanted to talk a little bit about traffic, Mike, because I know SEO is something that you're really renowned for and you've got a really good reputation for being able to get really qualified leads to the website and then have the phone ring. But one of the things that I've observed with SEO companies particularly, and I suppose anyone in the digital marketing space, there seems to be a lot of people who promise the world and then deliver less than. So I wanted to just ask, what would be, if someone was thinking about getting an SEO company, what sort of questions should they be asking of that SEO company? How do they test whether they're good or not?
Well, number one, get some references. Always get references, ask for a couple, get a couple of names of current clients, active clients, not previous clients and not, marketing companies can have some real good quote buddy clients, right? Where they're not even clients anymore, but they're like, hey, I'll take a couple of calls for you. You can give out my name. You want to have current active clients that can speak on the company's behalf. And you want to make those phone calls, take the time to do your due diligence and talk to current clients to see what they've gotten from that particular company. Company and ask any questions and any concerns like, hey, if I've got issues or I send an email, how long does it take for that company to get back to you? Right? Because one of the biggest issues we hear from a customer service standpoint, and it drives me crazy because I'm a type A 24/7 guy personally, is, companies will take 3 and 4 days even to respond to the email. And a lot of times that response will be, give us a few more days and we'll get back to you. And I think, oh my gosh, really? You just took 3 days to tell somebody to give us a few more days? So, you want to make every client is important, especially in their own eyes. And our goal is always 24 hours or less in response. And typically it's a matter of hours for us. So we work hard at our clients knowing that we're there for them, even though we're growing at a really rapid rate over here right now. But, you want to make sure that the company is responsive to your needs. And then if you've got questions, you want to make sure that, you know, they answer honestly and transparently. And one of the things with SEO, Jesse, is managing client expectations. And, you know, a big one with SEO is the old school SEO is going after the real competitive terms like City Dentist, City Veneers, City Invisalign. Everybody and their dog's going after that. And you've got all these SEO companies competing against each other in every major city. So when that happens, as you would know, because you used to do digital marketing, you've got this massively competitive landscape. And if a dentist, let's say a dentist is on the middle or bottom of page two, and they're in a city of, let's say, 100,000 population, if they go after those general terms, that SEO company better tell those dentists, you better give us 6 to 12 months. And even at that, there's no guarantee. 6 to 12 months, because there's nobody has a crystal ball. And when you go after those competitive terms, it takes a lot longer to achieve those ranking results.
Yeah, I think, again, that's really, really important because, you know, again, when I was running the agency, you know, you're absolutely right. It's about managing expectations because people would think that it was like turning a tap on. You know, I've paid my however much money and my phone hasn't rung, you know, within 5 minutes, and what's the problem? And it just doesn't work that way. And, you know, so do you, given that there is a bit of a lag for SEO to really become effective, do you then advocate some sort of paid traffic to, you know, get things going in the meantime, or do you just think stick it out and wait for the SEO?
No, you can do some paid traffic, but the issue with paid traffic, in my opinion, and, you know, I don't want to say that I'm not an advocate of it because there's a lot of people that are doing well with it, but Google ads are only going to increase in price. They're never going down. They're going to keep going up. So you don't have a fixed cost with Google ads. And as Google tries to take up more of the first page of the Google search results. So if you look at what Google's doing, they're doing some, you know, what was their tagline when they first launched? Don't be evil, something like that. Well, Google's being evil now. Because if you look at their ads, they almost mimic organic results, because Google knows that over 85% of the people skip the ads and go to organic results because they feel that the organic results are more trusted and more legitimate. And that's just human psychology, by the way. So when I talk to a dentist that's interested in, you know, digital marketing, I will say that statistics show that Google AdWords drives no more than about 20% of website traffic for a business. 20%. So if you're not going after organic SEO in some way, shape, or form, you're giving up 80% of the traffic that could be coming to your business. 80%.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
And then with Google Ads, you're talking about, depending on the population of the city the dentist is in, you're talking in the thousands of dollars a month. In the thousands and thousands. I mean, you know, we've got a client right now. Don't want to mention anything, but it was interesting. They've got 7 locations. They spend $30,000 a month on Google Ads.
Wow.
They have 7 locations, and, you know, they heard about our approach with SEO and buyer intent, keyword phrase, and things, and we're of course a fraction of that per month, and it's a fixed cost. You know, SEO for us is we don't keep raising prices. We quote our quote, and that's what it stays fixed at that price. And our goal with him is to show him that at a fraction of the price, we can drive more traffic and phone calls than the $30,000 he's spending on Google Ads. That's our goal.
Yeah. And as you say, by targeting those, you know, buyer intent or, you know, targeted keywords, you know, you're going to not just get more traffic, you're going to get more phone calls, you're going to get more business, and the ROI is infinitely better.
And we can get the rankings faster because nobody's going after those phrases. And because there's so many of them, it takes a massive back end for an SEO company to be able to rank for all those phrases. And I'm very lucky to say that my SEO partner is just a guru, and he's part owner of my business now. And we're able to really go after hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of phrases for our clients right now. Pretty cool.
That is really cool. I also just wanted to ask you, because we had a bit of a conversation off air about one of the trends that's happening here in Australia is that, you know, people will sign up for a digital marketing company. And typically that digital marketing company will either, you know, want to take control of the hosting of the website, or they'll almost lease you the website. And, you know, I just see that as such bad practice. What are your thoughts around that?
I would say it's bad practice and common practice. I would say most of the companies, especially the big ones in our country, they all do it. They build on, quote, their proprietary platform. And the minute it's built on when you've got it, okay, when you are talking to a company, one of the first questions you ask is, if, especially if you're getting your website rebuilt, you ask everybody on the phone, will I have 100% ownership of this website when the website goes live? And you want it, you want to hear what the company says verbally, and you want it in writing. You want to have 100% ownership of the content and that website. And one way to do that would be host it on your end. And don't get afraid with that. It's very easy. There's tons of web. Bluehost is a great company we use, bluehost.com. They're about $20 a month. So it's nothing for a business expense to host a website. Get your own hosting. And if the company is adamant and they say, no, we need to host it, Jesse, what's that telling you right there?
I'd say walk away, because here's what my experience with that is. I've had clients who've had their websites held hostage, really, because they've wanted to terminate their service agreement with this particular company because the service wasn't up to par. And so when they've wanted to do that, the other company said, well, now you've got to pay us X number of dollars to get your website back. And that just seems ridiculous.
Well, and you know, another thing that I have a hard time with, and you know, I understand it's business practice for a lot of companies, but when you lock a client into a contract, and I'll say the word lock, I really will. When you lock a client in for 12 months, and there's some companies out there that do 18 month contracts, do the math. I mean, if you, let's say it's $2,000 a month and it's 18 months, you're talking about, you're making a $36,000 commitment, whether you're happy with that company or not.
And you can't get out of it.
Well, I've got a client right now, and she very badly wants to hire my agency, and she's afraid because we found that the company, it's a pretty good sized company here in our country, they've breached the contract and not done what they said. So we're coaching her on how to get out of it. Kind of crazy that I'm not in the legal game, Jesse, but I just want to help people out. She right now, she's locked in for another 6 months at $4,000 a month.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So that's $24,000, and she's not. And imagine, she's not happy with the company. And so when we launched our dental marketing company 5-6 years ago, from day one, I said, I'm not locking anybody into a contract. 30-day notice, you're out. You can get out in 30 days notice. I don't want anybody to ever stay with me if they're not happy. That's no fun, right? That's no fun.
I couldn't agree more. And it's the same in our business. You know, if there's someone, and touch wood, you know, it doesn't happen too regularly, but it's not good for anyone. It's not good for the client. It's not good for you. It's not good all around. And I think, you know, shake hands and let everyone get on with their life. And I think that's just the most sensible way to go. So I never really understand these businesses that do take that approach. And as you say, the big thing that you spoke about, which I just want to come back to, is the use of proprietary software. There's a couple of companies here in Australia, and I won't mention names, but they'll do, for instance, paid advertising, you know, AdWords. And what they'll do is they'll host your site as a subdomain. You can only get the analytics that they provide you. Yeah, it's terrible. And then, of course, here's the other big tip. The big stitch up, as I call it, is they'll give you a unique phone number, a tracking number, right? So, you know, we'll give you a special phone number so that when the phone rings, you know, it's from our ads. And that's great in theory, except that patients start to record that phone number as a practice number. And when you disconnect from that service provider, all those patients have got the wrong number. And so it's a trap.
Well, not only that, Jesse, but unless you do call tracking correctly, and you got to do it Google compliant, if you don't, you're going to mess with your local listings across the internet with the incorrect phone number. So Google doesn't like to be confused. Google gets very angry when you try to play games or confuse them with multiple websites that point to the same, you know, a business address or the same phone number, or you've got multiple phone numbers that point to the same business. Google does not like that, right? And so when Google doesn't like it, they slap you, and you could get your whole business on the internet penalized. We've dealt with recoveries. It's called recovery, and Jesse, I guarantee you know what that is. But you try to recover a domain or a website that's been kind of basically banished by Google. There's no guarantees you can. We've done it successfully with a couple of them, but it's expensive and it's painstaking, and it takes 3 to 4 months just to get them back in Google's best, you know, in Google's graces. And then you're starting the whole SEO process all over again. So you're looking at about a year setback, a 1 year setback when you get the big G angry. Not a good thing.
No, don't upset Google is the core message there.
Oh, yes.
So, Mike, just as we're going through all things related to conversions and SEO, are there any other tips that you would suggest a dentist need to kind of keep in mind or factors they need to keep in mind as they go about their digital marketing?
Well, one thing I want to say, and, you know, I'm a marketing guy and a marketing company, and so I'm a little bit on the biased side here, but any business that wants to grow has to have a marketing budget. If you don't market your business, and nowadays it's online, if you don't market your business, what's that phrase? Grow or die. So if you don't, you know, and we have a lot of dentists we get on the phone, and one of our questions is, what's your marketing budget? And they say, we don't have one. And so what I want to say, Jesse, is, and this, I think this was produced by the Harvard Business Review. So this is a pretty, one of the most legitimate, you know, publications in the world, Harvard Business Review. Any business that wants to grow should be investing 3% of gross revenues in their business. Any business that wants to really, you know, be on a faster trajectory, 5 to 8% of gross revenues. So any dentist that's listening to this, at least you've got to embrace those numbers. Look at your gross production and times it a minimum, times it by 3%. And that's what you should be spending on all your combined. And that could be anything from adding up all the investments from a local newspaper ad to a billboard or a magazine, a local, you know, cosmetic magazine. Add all those investments up to a total number and see what that comes up to. And if it's not at least 3%, you're really going to have a hard time growing. And, you know, there's going to be some people out there listening going, oh, that's ridiculous. I invest 1% and we're crushing it. Well, you know, maybe, but this is Harvard Business Review. This isn't me quoting these numbers. This is Harvard Business Review that says any business that wants to grow should be at a minimum 3% of gross. And if you're aggressive, you're at 5 to 8%. That's how you need to think about it as a business owner.
But I think it's really important that your marketing becomes a focus. And just to kind of extend on that theme a little bit further when it comes to marketing budgets is, in the past in Australia, dentistry, you didn't really need to market. There was an undersupply of dentists relative to the population. But that's changed. And now there's corporatization. Now there's insurance companies kind of getting active. There's all these other market forces happening now that basically means that dentists need to be taking an interest in marketing. I don't think it's really feasible anymore for a dentist to be able to say, hey, look, I own a practice, but I just do the dentistry and, I don't do marketing, or someone else takes care of that and I just do the dentistry and I don't think about the business. I think those days are long gone, never to return. I think it's incumbent on all business owners to, really kind of get on board with running the business as a business, and that includes marketing for sure.
Well, it's kind of interesting, and I've been working with a lady, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I'm pretty excited about it. But there's a... gosh, I don't know if I should say this or not, but there's no commitment there yet. But there's a magazine called Dental Entrepreneur. And I just resonate with that because I've been an entrepreneur since the age of 21. So I've been an entrepreneur, oh God, I hate to say this, what, 32 years? Yeah, 32 years I've been an entrepreneur. So yeah, I haven't had a boss since the age of 21, which is, kind of cool to say that. But I came across Ann Duffy, Dental Entrepreneur, and we might start doing some work together with her magazine, because I just love the whole emphasis of dentists being entrepreneurs. I love that. And if you really don't look at it that way, Jesse, just like you said, it is a business and it's your business. Unless you're an associate or you work for a big corporate, it's your business and you should know all these different numbers and you should have an interest in it. So you've got to look at yourself as not just a dentist. You're an entrepreneur. That's what you are.
Absolutely. Could not agree more. I think it's, time that, you know, as business owners, we all kind of get on board with that and really run it as a business, not just as a, you know, a job. Because, you know, being hands in people's mouths all day is one thing, but you've got to run the business as well. Hey, Mike, we have covered a fair bit of territory, and before we hit lots of territory, but before we do wrap it up, I wanted to just quickly ask you a couple little key salient points. If we're going to kind of distill some of the essence of today's conversation down to a bumper sticker, what would be a couple of things you'd like to leave the audience with today?
Okay, first off, go back after you listen to this and look at your website. Is it built for the visitor or is it built for you? And that's number one. And when I mean built for you, is it does all the words and does the whole website depict we, us, our? That would be the focus on you, or is the focus on the visitor, which is the phrase you. You want to focus on the visitor with every word on your website, with every picture on the website, with videos. Everything should be for the visitor, not for you. People don't care if you've been a dentist 25 years. They don't care if you have 15 certifications. Yes, you can put that on your about page, but should that waste your homepage? No. Your homepage should be all about what you can do for them. So that's number one for sure. So you've got to go take a step back and look at your website and see if it's built and, you know, is it empathetic? Is it compassionate? Are you inviting people to call your practice, or are you just talking about yourselves? That would be one huge takeaway, Jesse, for sure on that one. SEO wise, start thinking about how people have gotten more intuitive how they use Google. And one thing we didn't cover yet, and I'm glad you just reminded me, voice activated search. Because people are using mobile devices more, they're talking in the phone when they're searching. I'm sure you've done it. I've done it. When people talk, they don't talk and say one or two words and stop, right? They say 3, 4, 5, 6 words, and they say something specific to what they're looking for. If your website is not, you know, optimized for voice-activated search, mobile search, you're going to lose all those opportunities to land people that are searching on mobile devices.
I love that. That is huge. And I have to tell you, just as a little random thing, some of the questions I get to ask Siri, some of the answers she comes back with is just phenomenal. That is a good game in itself.
Oh, you know, it's so funny. My daughter, who's 18 years old, and she's big on social media and all this stuff. And I saw her the other day using, I didn't really use Siri too much. I'm kind of old school. And she was, I forgot, she was maybe looking for something. She said, Siri, where is blah, blah, blah. And I said, what did you do? What did you do over there? And I knew what she did, but it was cool to see it. I use it all the time now. And it's awesome. And, you know, you can search for days. You can ask Siri, you know, dentist near me, you know, I've got a toothache, Siri, help me, or all these different things. And that's all voice activated search. And it's not dentist Portland, right? People don't talk like that, or plumber Portland. They don't say that. They'll say, I've got a clogged bathroom sink, you know, plumber near me. You know, things like that. So you've got to really optimize for people that are using Google more intuitively.
Yeah, I love that. That's really wise. Hey, Mike, I really appreciate you coming onto the call today. We've covered, you know, a lot of territory. We've kind of been up and down the place, and we've really gotten into the nuts and bolts of a lot of things. And I really want to say thank you from all the listeners here at Savvy Dentist for taking the time out of your day to come and spend it with us. So many great insights, so many wonderful tips, so many practical pieces of information that people can take into their practices on Monday and really make some changes there for the better. So from all of us here, Mike, thank you. Really appreciate it.
It's been an honor. I know we've kind of touched base. I think it was, I first made a contact because I sought you out. Oh, I don't know. It was, I don't want to say a year ago, Jesse, but it was quite a while ago, and you were just super, super busy. And then I got that email from Kate, I think like a week ago, and I got very excited because you're one of the guys out there that I really respected. You know, I've listened to lots of your podcast episodes. They're really, really good. And when I got that email from Kate, I was thrilled to know that I was going to be on, and I'm going to have you on my podcast in the next week or two. So I'm going to return the favor. So I very much appreciate you having me on.
It's an absolute pleasure, mate. And again, I really genuinely appreciate you taking the time, and I'm looking forward to being able to reciprocate in kind.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
Cheers, mate. really hope you enjoyed that conversation with Mike Pedersen. As you could tell from the interview, he's very knowledgeable and obviously really energetic as well. He's got loads of good information to share, and we really just got the opportunity to scratch the surface. So if you want to find out more about Mike and what he does, I'd really encourage you to go and check out his stuff at thedentalboost.com. He's got a podcast, he's got other resources there, and by all means, I think you should avail yourself of them. So until next week, I hope you stay well, and we'll see you on the flip side. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.